This is A.R. Farina, writer of the Austin Chronicles, and you're listening to Genuine Chit Chat.
He said November, and we ended up releasing it on November 30th, so snuck it in there. And that's kind of like our general mentality, like throughout this whole thing. It's just like, get things out there, get things done, and don't overthink things. Like I'm an editor-in-chief, we still have that obnoxious attention to detail that I can't ignore. So like, it's still, we still put our whole effort into things and all that stuff. But yeah, that anthology was basically my gateway.
Yeah.
How I got lured in, because it was just supposed to be a one-off thing. But then as we were, could we each written our 8 stories and then come together and tried to like match this timeline to this event. But one of my ghost stories specifically, I had to cut off the second half. I'm like, we need a new idea for this. And as we like kind of brainstormed and I wrote the story, it was like, he was like, this is a comic book character. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, what do I do with that? And he's like, you should write a comic book. And I was like, no thanks, but I'm going to go back to trying to be a novelist.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week is another conversation with an incredible content creator. This conversation is with Laurie L.A. Cunningham. She's known as L.A. Cunningham as her pen name, but her actual name is Laurie. And she's the editor-in-chief of ASAP Imagination and also contributes to many of their comics and written works. And she just has a lot of written output. So in this conversation, we speak about Laurie's journey, how she got involved with ASAP Imagination and its founder Hades. We also talk about the Points of Villainy trade paperback collection Kickstarter, which I myself have backed. People on X may have seen me share it. And as of recording this, it has over 2 weeks left. So if you're listening to this in April 2024, there should still be time to go and support it. Please support indie comic creators wherever you can. There's lots of links in the description and things, but myself and Laurie not only talk about her journey and this comic itself, but also her like of dark humor and horror, her dabbling into drawing and art, spin-off stories, writing in a shared universe, all kinds of great stuff. This is a perfect conversation if you're an author or writer or comic book fan or just independent creator. It's a really great conversation. Laurie was a delight to have on the show, and that's all I'm going to say here. So friends, I hope you enjoy this conversation. Stay until the end and I'll give you more information on what's coming up on Genuine Chit Chat, a bit more information about Laurie and that sort of jazz, but also make sure you check out the details in the description because I have all the links you could possibly want for Laurie and all sorts of other stuff that I'm up to. And make sure you check out the last week's episode of Genuine Chit Chat, because if you enjoyed this one, you're certain to enjoy that one too. But friends, I present to you Laurie L.A. Cunningham. Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people, and I'm your host, Mike Burton. I am here today with an individual who has gotten into the writing scene in a way that one may not actually expect. And she's been involved with comics, she's written poetry, as well as short stories and things, still gunning to try and one day become a number one best-selling author. But on that road, on that journey, she has collaborated and is now editor-in-chief, I think is the exact term for her, is ASAP Imagination, the comic world which is created by a gentleman named Hades, has released loads of amazing pieces of content, and L.A. Cunningham, as the pen name is, but actually, I'm here with Laurie. Laurie, how are you doing today?
I am doing excellent.
Wonderful. I'm doing very well, thank you. I had a bit of a rough day at work, so I've got a small whiskey and Coke to my left and a nice glass of water to my right. And I'm in the UK, so it's a lot later for me here.
Yeah.
So this isn't a 7 a.m. call and I'm already on the whiskey. This is quite a late night thing for me. But, you know, I'm really, really excited to chat with you because of your writing journey. As I said, you know, you've been involved in lots of different things. Some have been through ASAP Imagination. There's been a couple of things just yourself, like Babies of Rabies. And you're a big horror fan. So, you know, all these things kind of click together to make a really, really interesting picture. So I know you've said about your sort of writing journey quite a lot. You initially kind of had a career going through, it was almost like accountancy or that kind of sphere. And then your partner said, well, you have a little break because you're not happy, you know, do some bit of writing and things. And you went on a creative writing course. And then you finished a few, but you haven't got quite your certificate yet. But from there, it kind of inspired you a bit. You got on social media, talked to people and things, and you connected with Hades. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about ASAP Imagination and a little bit of your journey from meeting Hades online.
Yeah, so ASAP Imagination was founded entirely by Hades. It was his little brainchild. When we first met, I was pregnant and he was in the 9-to-5, so we were just kind of doing our own thing, but like just developed like a fast friendship, like same sense of humor and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, and then we just kind of carried our own thing. We had this plan to like do a project together and it didn't really come through. And then I had a baby. He ended his job and he was like, he had submitted a comic at the time and hadn't heard anything back. And he's like, screwed, I'm going to start my own company, as a normal person does. And I was just planning on being on the sidelines, just cheering him on. But by then I'd had a baby and like, I was trying to get back into writing and it just wasn't going well. And he was like, well, how about we do that project we talked about? And it was supposed to be just be a one-off thing where I'm like, sure, let's do this. And then I'll go back to my own thing. So we did this like little awesome anthology that has 16 stories that we co-wrote, and it's like a flip book. So there's 18 stories, or sorry, 8 stories on one side and then 8 on the other. And it's all centered around one event. So it's just 16 different perspectives of people going through this horrifying, paranormal, catastrophic event. And yeah, from there, it was kind of, we put it out there. It was one of those things where I had been like pegging, like going at it kind of slowly. And all of a sudden he's just like, let's pick a release date. He's just like, and he like posted something online without me telling it. And he's just like, we're releasing in November. And I think by then it was August. I'm like, oh my God. Because by then I was still in like the writing, like the novelist, traditional novelist mentality, where I'm like, oh, it takes like years for someone to like see your stuff. And then you have to get an agent, you have to get a publisher. And then that takes 3 years. And then that takes 3 years, assuming that they accept you. So it's like, so I assumed I wasn't going to be publishing anything for like 10 years, like minimum. But then I started doing like some short stories and submitting to some magazines along the way, and that was kind of going slow. But yeah, like all of a sudden he just threw this like timeline at me and I'm just like, you're insane. And he said November, and we ended up releasing it on November 30th. So snuck it in there. And that's kind of like our general mentality like throughout this whole thing. It's just like, get things out there, get things done, and don't overthink things. Like, we still like I'm an editor in chief, you still have that attention, that obnoxious attention to detail that I can't ignore. So like, it's still, we still put our whole effort into things and all that stuff. But yeah, that anthology was basically my gateway. Yeah. How I got lured in, because it was just supposed to be a one-off thing. But then as we were, could we each written our 8 stories and then come together and tried to like match this timeline to this event. And one of my stories didn't, or there's a couple that we had to like jiggle, but one of my stories specifically, I had to cut off the second half. I'm like, we need a new idea for this. And as we like kind of brainstormed and I wrote the story, it was like, he was like, this is a comic book character. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, what do I do with that? He's like, you should write a comic book. And I was like, no thanks, but I'm going to go back to trying to be a novelist. And, but then he's a very persuasive guy. So by the end of that call, I was kind of just like, so what would this look like? Because I'd like read some of his scripts for one of his like a flagship comic, Messiah. And so I'd like seen some stuff and like says familiar with comic scripts, but I never tried writing one. So I like tried doing it and it was like the chain of dominoes. That was basically it started. And then like, I think I originally started writing it as a graphic novel. So the comic was called Sister Grimm. And we decided that we were going to split change things up, and we split all of the titles into kind of 4 issue arcs. So I had to like, so I'd written so much and now I'm like still like trying to cut things down into 4 issues, but I got the first issue out there. So I think it took about like a year or so, because we had to like go through it all, and I'm still like a mom and all that stuff and dealing with life. Like we're trying to like renovate and sell a house at the same time and all, like just life is so busy. And then, yeah, I just got that out there. And then I think before that we'd started like basically working on an anthology, because Hades started the company and it was originally just like our comics were going to be in there. Like, they're all like these interconnected titles within one universe. But then we started to get attention, or we'll say I wasn't a wee yet. He started to get attention. And he's just like, people are like, hey, like, do you think, I've seen what you're doing, could you help me publish my comic book? And he's just like, yeah, I guess we could do that. So started up an imprint, and I was still doing stuff very like on like a unofficial basis, just like, oh yeah, I'll support you. Like, of course I can help. And so like, we're releasing this anthology. And like I was editing it, like I submitted a story to it. So I have a story in there and it was like for charity, but basically we launched the Anyone World, which is this platform for other indie creators who bring their own IP and just want to publish their stuff. And yeah, so we did this big anthology and after, like, he was kind of like, hey, do you want to, like, you're already doing the job, do you want to be the editor in chief for ASAP? And again, I was like, oh, that's kind of official, that's a lot of commitment. He's like, but you're already doing it. And I'm like, it's again kicking and screaming, I'm like, oh, fine. And then yeah, like I've just everything, I've just get pulled more and more in, and I've written a whole bunch of comic books and fully integrated. There's no escape now.
Oh yeah, once you get into the doorway of comics, albeit reading them or writing them or anything, I think it does just open everything up a lot more. And
Oh yeah.
one of the things I loved about doing some of the research is with the points of villainy and sorry, point there's points of virtue and points of villainy, and it's the two sort of eight stories kind of on the opposite sides. The first thing that sparked this all up, your short stories. And then when Hades said, you know, it's been a comic book character, kind of certain elements that you made, that's when you guys have kind of expanded into the comic verse, isn't it? It's like you've got there's the three issues of the Tales of Villainy, the single issues. There's one of Virtue, and there's a second one coming out of Virtue, if I recall. And then this kind of conversation got sparked because of the Kickstarter, which is the trade paperback collection of the Villainy one. So I can only presume, not to put words in your mouth, that once, or assumedly, you're going to release, you know, the second issue of the Tales of Virtue, then the third, and then maybe there'll be a trade paperback collection of those as well. So I'm interested in a way, like, one thing that really struck me is when you were speaking on another podcast about you and Hades didn't specify which stories within the 16 in the kind of original works, which ones were yours and which ones were his. Now, you said that a few have slipped out because of Sister Grimm, which is obviously a comic series that's been essentially a spin-off that's kind of come from that. But when you're writing these short stories and things, how did you find it? Because I know that with collaboration, it works really well in the comic sphere, because it's very rare to find a creator who's the writer as well as the artist, as well as the editor, and et cetera, et cetera. But comics are inherently collaborative. And I know that you've said that Hades really helps you because he really is like, right, here's the deadline, and kind of pushes you in a way that you may not push yourself. So I wondered how you found the creative process originally of the short stories compared to then kind of converting them but also tweaking them into the comics.
Well, it was like when we first started the anthology and the short stories, it was very like casual, like we were just like, yeah, let's like start working on a project, like it was so unofficial. But then like things just started coming together, and like we very much like he was kind of like from the first phone call, like when I was reluctant, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And by the end of the phone call, I'm like, okay, I have my first idea, I'll start writing it. And I think I was starting to like write a few stories. And like when he gave that deadline, I don't think he'd written any stories yet. So it was basically, he just like, it started off with like just encouragement, like take your time, like get back into writing, get the feel for thing. And all of a sudden he was just like, all right, we're going. And then like he wrote his stories. And like, I was like, I think he wrote eight stories in the time it took me to write two. So we have slightly different processes on that part, and time and stuff. Like I said, new mom, that ate up a bit of my time. But yeah, it was very like, he's just like, we just generally get along. Like obviously, like we butt heads and stuff because like we've been friends forever, and friends running a business. Like it's, you're gonna, not everything's gonna be super friendly all the time.
You're not always gonna have the,
which is great,
you want the best thing for the business, but you're not always gonna think the journey there is exactly the same.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think it's good because like we both like have ideas for things, and like it's good to have some, like you don't just want yes men around you and stuff, right? So like, not that like I disagree with a lot of his stuff, but like it's good to have someone asking you questions. And same thing from him, like I'm just like, hey, what if we do this? And he's like, well, slow down. And so we both do that, and so it's great. And so yeah, I think like again with like writing the anthology, it was very much just two friends working together, and we still had some few disagreements here and there about what direction and stories and stuff, because ultimately like ASAP is his like brainchild, and he had like all these characters and this like kind of general backstory. Like he has like this huge world in his head, and I was just coming in and being like, doo, 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 just casually writing thing. So yeah, so like we like worked together on that, but it was good. And that, but it's very different because like he's like my best friend, so it's like it's a very different relationship as opposed to almost like the perfect, like I'm still friendly with all of like our artists and the people I work with. But there is a little bit more of that like professionalism in a way. Like Hades and I should have some more professionalism because we do like work together. But like I think always friends first. So it has like that slightly different relationship and dynamic and stuff.
It's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, because like if I disagree with an artist, I'm not going to be like, ah, screw you. But looking at him, I'll be like, ah, screw you.
Well, I wondered if with like Sister Grimm, for example, so is that more because that spun off of a short story that you wrote, did you have a bit more like creative freedom with that in a respect? Because obviously with Hades, although he's still the founder of ASAP Imagination, with the Tales of kind of series that are coming out, because you both kind of had inputs in that, I assume one of you maybe takes the lead a little bit more with the stories that are your own stories. But with Sister Grimm, is that all your own? Is that kind of Hades leaves you to it? To the most part, I'm interested by the dynamic.
For the most part, like obviously it's like within a world, so like there's a few things, like I can't just go crazy because like because we have a whole bunch of titles
and they
start contradicting each other, and I know like if you write enough titles in a shared universe, at some point you're gonna have something that contradicts each other. Even within the story you can contradict yourself, right? And like, and I know like comics like has a history of like, we don't put things out monthly necessarily, but like comics is a pretty quick turnaround, so it's easy to just be like, whoops, I forgot that little detail. But yeah, like, I think it's like very much like I do have like a lot of autonomy. Like he knows the general storyline. And then the plan after the 4-issue arc is to kind of maybe start interconnecting some titles. So then it's going to be a little more like, again, even more collaborative, because suddenly you're working with other writers and stuff and trying to make sure things make sense. And in a, like, I actually don't know how that's done. Like, cause obviously it's like different titles, like, cause all of a sudden someone's writing your character, but like maybe your character is still going on with other stuff. And it's just like, hey, don't you wreck her or stuff like that. So yeah, like that'll be an interesting process to like kind of see how that goes. But yeah, it's I've had like some good creative freedom there. Cause even it's fun writing in a shared universe. Cause it's almost like, I don't know about some people, but it's just like, sometimes it's easier to write when you have a prompt as opposed to just like come up with something out of like magically out of thin air, right?
Yeah, blank canvas is like anything. Whereas when it's like one sentence, you're like, okay, this knocked off 99% of anything else. Even just a man walks into a bar, you've immediately got, okay, well, I've got the gender of the individual, I've got a location, right? I can bead off this. But if you're like, tell a story, you're like, it could be a rhinoceros on the top of a skyscraper.
Yeah, I
need a place to start almost to spin off.
In a way, having those like limitations and kind of like a more confined world helps, because like there's a few things like right away where it's just like, I know it's in London, there was this big horrible event and it caused all this chaos, there's like these nefarious organizations, there's this like corrupt religion that spawned off of it, and then there's all these other like people who have abilities from this whole thing. And so there's like a few things, and obviously then we have our actual other titles where it's just like, there's again, there's like details in there, we don't want to contradict things. So, and then it's interesting because as we like read each other's titles, we're like, oh, this person added something, and then you're like, how can I Easter, because you always want to, it's always fun Easter egging, you're like, how can I reference that somehow? so you're like, oh yeah, I'll like put that in there. It's always fun trying to like loose like subtly connect them, even though they're not technically, because everything's connected through the event, but to like have little things here and there. And like even in mine, like I mentioned like Sister Grimm happens 3 months after the event, and there's this other title, Dead of Night, which happens a year after the event. And Dead of Night heavily features this detective called Heather Moore. And in my Sister Grimm issue one. Is it issue one? No, it's issue two. Sorry. Basically, like they reference like Heather, like detective, or no, at the time she's not like a detective yet.
Like
a
lieutenant, so like, almost one step down.
So having like she's, so like in there, there's like that subtle like, oh, she's been promoted between these like couple comics and stuff, right? So it's fun doing little things like that.
But that's often one of the most fun things. Is almost just like, you know, you've got a couple of characters in a story, and one of them's just wearing a certain t-shirt, and then you just, and then it's a t-shirt of just like a made-up fictional band, and then in another sort of story they're like, oh yeah, I went and saw this band the other night, they're called blah blah blah, and then, no impact on the bigger story, but they're fun little things. It's like the DiCaprio meme of like, oh I get it, I love that kind of thing. It's one of the beauties of shared universes. And you know, with all of the stuff around sort of ASAP Imagination, I know that you came in sort of after Hades kind of spring-loaded it all, but I think that you have really been one of the driving forces that's been helping it as well. You know, I know Hades does quite a lot of interviews and conversations and podcasts and stuff as well, and a YouTube channel and et cetera as well. But you yourself have also been doing a lot of podcasts and things as well. And, you know, you've got your own YouTube channel and you've got your own sort of content in addition to that, you know, as well as your website and things, which we'll plug and I'll put details in the description. But I want to ask sort of, with your own kind of content, speaking of, let's go with babies, with rabies first. So that's a really fun one, because whenever you talk about it, I love hearing of the descriptions you use to kind of, you're almost like, I don't know who would want this, but then you also do mention several people who would. And I really, really appreciate that, because it's just like this dark humor around it. And there's kind of, there's very much in your conversations, I find, there's like initially spring load, you just think, oh, really happy, nice person. And I'm sure you are both of those things. But then as you talk more, you see little bits of like, oh yeah, I really like these horror films. And yeah, really crazy gore and nuts stuff. And then you hear some of the creatures that you've created and that kind of darkness there. So I wonder with like things like babies with rabies, like, what I've heard this, but I want the listeners to find it, you know, what kind of spring loaded you to make that? And then how was that process? Because obviously a 26-ish, well, not 26 pages, but, you know, where it's the alphabet kind of element of it.
Yeah.
It is easier to write, I'd say, in some respects than something else like your poetry collection. So I wondered how you'd found, like, if we use those two, Babies of Rabies and your poetry collection, at least the first one that's out, how would you describe the different processes in making those compared to when things have been with ASAP? I know they're very different things, so it's that's kind of the reason I liked it. I like the dissonance of two completely opposing things, and you'd have to explicitly conjoin them, but just kind of that.
And by my poetry collection, you mean what?
So there's I was doing a lot of research before doing this, and I went on your website as well, and it was the one which is, it's, I think it's actually called This Is Not Poetry. Yeah, This Is Not a Poem, sorry. So there's that, and I know that you've also have written short stories, and there's lots of poetry on your website as well. I liked the mother effing tree one. I know that's what I'm talking about. I quite liked that one as well. So it's like that you write poetry and short stories and your own written works and whatever one would class babies as rabies with, like all these different mediums of producing some inside of ASAP and some outside of that. So if we focus outside of that a little bit, the poetry element, This Is Not a Poem and Babies with Rabies, everyone say that makes me laugh. The creative side of those kind of outside ASAP projects is kind of where I'm trying to drill into.
Okay, fair. Okay, so yeah, I think with like ASAP, there's very much like, this is what we're doing. And like, there's so much, there's like a whole bunch of stuff involved with our job. Because obviously like, there is the writing, there's the publishing, there's the printing, there's the editing. And then there's like, we have the Anyone World. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that kind of goes towards there. And I think that actually like, so I wrote the script for Sister Grimm, like, I don't even know, like 3 years ago. And I have, and same thing, we wrote the anthology like 4 years ago or something. So it's been a while since like those first were like came out of my brain, and they came out in like more of like an outline and stuff. So it's like my main job with like writing in ASAP now is almost like adapting things. So it's like the idea is already out there. I'm just scripting stuff now. So I think that like a lot, like the stuff that comes out of my brain that's like not ASAP is kind of just like, because I'm not writing a ton right now for ASAP, I think my brain needs to puke out other stuff still, basically. Part of that used to be, I used to see like anthology submissions and I'd like submit that. And that's where like I have like this, like book through my newsletter called, or what is it even called right now? It's called The Legend of Santa Hollow and the Headless Snowman. So it's basically, that started from an anthology, and it was just like this need to like create and write again. And I think that's a lot of it. Like, Babies with Rabies kind of happened naturally, just again, like I wasn't heavily doing anything at that point, but I was living with my parents and I had a daughter, and I was just like, I just wanted to write, but I just couldn't. And then that was just like a lot of my stuff are just jokes that went too far. And that was like a classic example of just talking about rabid babies, and all of a sudden it turned into like a survival guide like discussion, and then it very much like twisted into like very much like a zombie survival guide parody. And like I love dystopian books, and like, oh yeah, so you mentioned like horror, but I have like a weird thing with, I don't love watching a ton of horror movies because I don't love jump scares. I feel like they're really cheap, and it makes me like really reluctant to watch horror movies now. But for some reason my brain
She yeah. loves horror, but she is like, I hate jump scares, yeah. but she loves yeah. watching like horror franchises, like slashers, things like that. When Halloween hits, all of October, she's let's watch a franchise.
In October, it's like someone flips a switch in my brain and I'm like, I'm watching horror movies and it doesn't matter what. But like outside of October, like there's a few exceptions. Like if someone, a whole bunch of people recommend certain movies, I'm like, okay, fine. And also for some reason, zombie movies, my brain's just like, whatever. Like they're obviously horrifying, but the my brain seems to make an exception for them. Space a little
disconnection,
bit too.
Because Megan, my fiance, she always says like, she wasn't into horror films that much when we first met, which was several years ago now. But like she didn't like a lot of horror films when it was gratuitous gore, but primarily it was when she could imagine something happening to her. Like she doesn't like watching someone getting beaten to a pulp in a film. Whereas if it's like a monster, rips someone in half, she's like, oh, well, I can't imagine that happening to me. And I think with zombies, it's like,
yeah, and
I know a lot of people think it might, but I think it's that disconnect of just like,
yeah, for sure. It's funny because I've never really thought, because also space, I'm like, I'm never going to be, or at least not that I planned to,
pretty unlikely.
I never planned to be in space, right? So I'm like, so people having horrifying experiences in space, I'm like, it doesn't affect me. So I guess that and zombies, whereas like slasher movies where someone's stalking, at least like the psychological horror or the things, the really like unknown, like what's in the shadows, things like that's what I write. But that's what I hate watching because it's too real. But yeah, it's my favorite thing to write. But like on screen, I'm like, I'm such a baby for it. I'm like, no, thank you. And then as soon as they have a jump scare, I'm like, you dirty, dirty directors, quit doing that. Like, I don't mind legitimate to an extent. I always think of like Haunting and the Haunting of Hill House is like one of the ones I like Netflixing as I watch, like not recently, but like whenever it came out. And there's like two legitimate parts where like watching it, I like full out screamed, but they were like so earned and it was actually like what you're screaming at is scary. But I hate when movies are like you open a door and a broom falls out and then the like sound people are like and you scream at that and like, no, that is not okay. I hate that part. But I forget what I'm talking about horror movies now.
It's more like your outlook, I think, because with ASAP, where it's, you know, because ASAP is, if the event is almost like the catalyst, and then it's almost things are kind of spawning off there, even if they're not necessarily directly connected to that. That's kind of the ground zero of ASAP.
Yeah.
And then things come off there. Whereas, you know, when you can just create anything you want, it's like, where do you start from? And I think horror has a through line in a lot of things you do. Maybe it is because it's that. One of the things I like about horror, and sci-fi is quite similar to that, and they're two of my favorite things, is complete freedom. Whether you're an indie director in making a film, or you're writing, you know, a book or a short story or anything, you've just got that ultimate freedom. And horror is so subjective. Like, you can get horror films that are literally just about trees getting people, and they're in horror films. But you can also have horror films of someone which is just by themselves, an isolation, like A Woman in Black and something. And obviously, Woman in Black started as a stage performance as well. So I think horror and sci-fi have just these areas where creatives are free to experiment in any ways they want. You know, you get it from like Coraline. That's a horror film. I know it started as a book, but it's like, it's a horror film. It's amazing. It's one that's suitable for all ages, and I adore it, but it is a horror film. And it's that kind of space where I think you're free, for the most part, from judgment for doing things a bit out there. Like Babies of Rabies, just the title is nuts in the best way, you know, no effect, and not in a negative way. It's such a crazy concept and so fun.
Some people do have negative reactions to it. Like I've had like messages from people that are not unhappy with it. And I'm just like, it's just meant to be a joke.
Well, if you don't get, if like, you read the title and you don't like it, you know.
Yeah, but like I get like rabies is like a real disease that killed babies. Like I do understand that. But it's like, this is very much just supposed to be a zombie parody. It's just rhyming. It's silly. It's less about like killing babies and more like kind of like the raccoon kind of rabbit, like that, what people kind of talk about. Like it's more that style is like what the comment is. So yeah, but I do agree with that with like horror. It's just like, because even like I also write dark fantasy, and like dark fantasy is very much like sometimes you're operating within a magic system, and even sci-fi sometimes you're operating within like techno, typically you're operating within some kind of technology and science. Sometimes
science,
I get that there's like a way, I get that there's a way to stretch it so you don't always have to explain things. Like again, aliens are kind of one of those do whatever you want. But like horror, you kind of just like do whatever you want. You don't have to explain it. You're like, but that doesn't make sense. And you're like, it's horror. You're like paranormal stuff. Like you don't have to explain it, right? So yeah, it is kind of fun that way. And yeah, I guess that's kind of like, I think that again, like kind of ASAP, I do have those restrictions, which are great. And they are like kind of help me write and focus your writing. But again, when I get antsy, I just go and create something stupid. And this poetry collection you're talking about isn't actually poetry, is the weird thing as well. It's literally, so someone also started off as a joke where I was kind of like poking fun at some modern poetry over on Instagram, where people just take a sentence and like break it up into a few lines and suddenly it's poetry. So like I like posted something on Twitter and it was basically just like, it's like poetry isn't just one sentence broken up into multiple lines. And someone's like, you should publish that. And so I published a one-page book. It's just that through like Amazon. So I made a cover, it has dedication page and everything and stuff, and like put it up there. So that's like what that is. And then like jumping through, making a long story very short, like a narrator got involved with it and he's like, can I help make this into an audiobook? And so we have a 45-second audiobook out there for it. And like and all this stuff. And the audiobook's funny because like typically for like most platforms, you need to have like a minute sample of the book, and the book's only 45 seconds. So like, so he had to like change the sample a bit so he can like the first 15 minutes, he's just kind of like vamping. Just like it's very much, you may enjoy the sound of my voice. And therefore you may also enjoy this book we have to offer you. So, but I do have actual poetry as well. So, but it's just basically like,
cause like you can read, you put up a lot of the poetry on your actual website as well, which people can read a decent amount of it for free. And I looked at it and I did think when I saw the price and stuff of the, you know, this is not a poem, I was like, that's very affordable. I was like, that's very, I've seen independent artists creating a lot of things for cheap. The secret. Well, also because Babies of Rabies, you've put the digital version on your website as a name your price as well, which is amazing stuff. So people can go on there and give you a dollar if they want. They should give more than a dollar because it's worth more than that. But, you know, they can give whatever just to get a hold of the digital version of that. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, you know, Laurie's just being really nice and just having this really cheap collection of poetry. God, but it's like, no,
I'm
that's the joke.
I'm overcharging for it. It should be free. But it was so funny because we put it on Amazon and like, I just kept it at the same price because basically like once we tried turning it into an audiobook, Amazon rejected the audiobook because they're like, what is this? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, we have this book. And then they went and looked at the book and you're like, you can't publish this. So they blocked it and took it down. And so I just basically took it from over there and just put on my website just in case, just kept it on everything the same if people wanted to read it. And then I wrote a second book to basically explain the whole situation. It was mostly just kind of like a thanking the fellow mischief makers who helped make that book happen. So I like screenshot, because like on Amazon, it got like a whole bunch of like reviews and people were like, this is the best poetry book I've ever read. Like, comparing it to like Hemingway and stuff. Like, people were so funny with it, so it was like fun. So like basically the second book was like, because they took down the first book, and the second book was like a whole bunch of the reviews and the screenshots and basically explaining how everything happened and how it got taken down. And then I put the first book back in it, so like in theory you can still get it on Amazon and read the first book because it's hidden in the second book.
Just don't tell Bezos, this is a secret.
don't tell him. No, I've been like very like forward about, like, the description literally says like everything. And even like the first book, it was like, this isn't a book of poetry, it's literally one page. Like, it's a book of one page of not a poem. So, but yeah, that's what I do with my own creative endeavors. I just go make jokes.
Well, I wanted to ask, because I know you've said in jest before that what you wanted to do initially, you were maybe not resistant, but you didn't jump it all in with Hades initially because you were like, I want to write a big novel and try and be, you know, your quote, the number one bestselling author and that kind of thing. And you said about writing dark fantasy, and I know that some of the stuff you put out for ASAP is, you know, it's horror-esque, but that it is... Fantasy definitely plays a role. I think fantasy and horror are really, you know, close. One of my favorite horror genres is actually like folklore horror. There's a film like The Ritual, which is not dissimilar to like Blair Witch Project kind of things, where people are just in the forest and crazy things are going to get them and it's all legends. Yeah. And with your sort of dark fantasy stuff, the things, are you still writing in the background this number one best-selling novel that you're going to be writing? Are you still, like, I assume, as when I speak to most creatives, there's normally about five things going on. Normally, one thing you can't talk about, another thing is already being produced in things, another thing is what you're currently promoting, and then there's two things that are quiet that you can't even talk about because it's like, I don't even know what this is yet. So I don't need to spoil any of that stuff, but I'm just interested, are you also trying to write a novel? Now that you're getting, you know, progressively more people interested in what you're putting out there, both in and out of ASAP, I didn't know if you're quietly kind of building something else.
I try to think of how many things I'm still finishing Sister Grimm. Mm. And obviously we're like finishing Points of Virtue, or like the single issues, and now we're doing the trade with the Complete Points of Villainy, which is what's on Kickstarter right now, related to that anthology. Like, the anthology thankfully is complete. that one's nice and finished, but now obviously like turning it into the comics. And then I'm starting to get better at drawing. So like, I've illustrated my first mini comic called Demon Potatoes, which is like comedy horror about demon potatoes. And then again, joke gone too far. And then the other thing, I like through my website, it's probably my lowest priority, but something that I think I'm pecking away at. And I don't have any illusions that it's going to be a bestseller or like a New York Times bestseller or whatever. But it is like meant to be a novel, like every newsletter in theory. It's not every newsletter. And my newsletters are supposed to be monthly, and they're like two, three times a year.
Well, that's what makes it so special. Like,
yeah, it's a little treat. And sometimes I don't give people a new chapter, but basically every newsletter by plan was to release a new chapter, so like people could like follow along and like on the story. And I think I've done three chapters. So yeah, it's like that one is in a slow build, slowly building a novel, but it's quite a low priority, just like same as my newsletter in general. So it will be something that like maybe like 10 years from now, maybe maybe I'll all of a sudden I like get to free up my time somehow. But I just seem to be getting busier, and there's so much stuff going on, and now that I'm trying to draw more, like that, I feel like I'm leaning more into that. So who knows where things are gonna go.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm not very good at drawing, and I've not really had the necessary desire to draw on things. I've thought about writing a little bit, but I know that you said that in your past, you never really thought of writing fully. You know, you, as we mentioned slightly earlier on, your kind of career path started out somewhere else, a different trajectory in a certain way. But I wondered if, I know you said you hadn't really thought of writing before, but when you were younger or anything like that, like before ASAP was a thing, did you actually do any drawing or writing at all, even just fun little things on the side? Or was it really from ASAP was really your first actual foray into it?
Like before ASAP, I was writing. Like I started writing, I'm trying to think of how far in I was before I met Hades. So I think I started my Twitter platform in like 2017, and I think I met him in 2019. So I kind of had 2 years there where I was like writing and dabbling, and so I have like short stories I've never like done stuff with, and or like partially written novels and stuff.
And that's for the creative writing course, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, a bit. Some of it was some of the creative writing course, and some of it was just like once I was on Twitter and telling people as an author, I was like, okay, I guess I should write. So, and I was like writing some short stories to submit to some anthologies. So I do have ones that are like written, but I just haven't done anything with them because I need to like basically edit them or expand them or do something with them.
Well, half the time, them.
I don't know.
Half the time is writing it, and then the other half of the time is tweaking, editing, releasing, and everything else, if not more so. The writing of an actual work of writing of it in its first draft is actually quite a small proportion of how much effort there is in its whole journey.
Yeah. It's definitely like there's a lot going on with all of it. So
it's one of those things. I want to ask a little bit more about sort of horror, but also comics. So with comics themselves, have you before getting involved with ASAP, had you read many comics at all, or was ASAP really your first kind of? Did it spark something in you? I'm intrigued if you had like any prior comic intrigue before ASAP.
My comic intrigue was like Calvin and Hobbes, Garfield, Farside, Archie's, like those kind of things.
Nothing
like,
wrong with that.
And,
love coffee.
Yeah, but like kind of like back when newspapers existed and there was like the Saturday Funnies page and stuff. That was kind of like more what I was into. And then I was like obviously into cartoons, like I had an older brother, and I feel like he probably was the reason I watched like Ninja Turtles and Spider-Man and stuff. Maybe it was me as well. I feel like when he wasn't around, I was more likely to watch like other more, I don't know, other things. But yeah, but like that was kind of my experience. And obviously like movies, like I way back when I watched Blade, I didn't know Blade was a comic book character. And like, obviously like the MCU took off like before I got into this and all that stuff, and seeing like the Dark Knight trilogy and the original Batmans and all that stuff. So like, I was like, I feel like very casual, but like coming into comics, I felt like pretty out of it. In that sense. It's just like, I know coming into comics, I felt like quite the imposter. Cause I'm like, oh, I haven't read all the Spider-Man. I haven't read all of the Batman stuff. Like, and then obviously I'm like, oh, I'm going to like try and do it. And like, maybe it's like going to get it. Like, then I like look into like Batman and I'm like, oh, it's like 80 years of comics.
Yeah,
like,
every week.
That's going to take a little bit of time to catch up. Oh, and then everything splits off. There's like multiple universes and storylines that like, and then they contradict each other. And people are like, this one's not canon, but it's great. like, so it's all over the place. But yeah, like coming into comics, like I was very much like not, I didn't really consider myself, like, I wasn't seeking them out. Mm. Whereas, like, once I started getting into there, so, like, Hades and Nem were, or D.W. Howard is also what he's known as. they were basically, like, corrupting me. And, like, they made me this little folder on, like, our shared drive. And they're, like, Laurie's homework, homework, LOL. And, like, it's like, here, watch this, read this, read this. And so I started, and because I was writing Sister Grimm, and, like, it was kind of, like, this dark fantasy horror-ish kind of title, they definitely were sending some darker suggestions, like, oh, watch like Ghost Rider and like Constantine and all that stuff. So yeah, it's definitely interesting that way. But I feel like shortly after all that, I read Watchmen, and that one was kind of like, and that was on Hades' suggestion, and I'd seen the movie, and when I was younger, and it didn't make like a huge impact on me, but like reading the comic book with kind of like the whole like, do I want to get into this kind of mindset? Like, there's this, like, the second chapter in Dr. Manhattan is basically, like, giving his life story, but, like, all of his different timelines at once are just, like, all over the place because he's has no concept of time, I guess, or it happens all at once. I was like, how would you even do this without comics? And I was like, how would you even do this with, like, anything? So, like, that was kind of the thing where I'm like, yeah, I, like, want to be a part of this.
It's a great medium, comics, because also one of the beauties of comics is you need a budget to produce and create a comic, but like to draw a page with 50,000 people on it, or drawing a page with one person on it, some would argue it's harder for the one because the details of the armor or whatever they're wearing. But like, if you want to have a big battle scene, you could just draw a big battle scene, you know, whereas obviously if you're producing a movie or TV series, you have to figure that out. And the scale is different. And I think, again, comics, horror, sci-fi, fantasy, they're all these places that great innovation has happened. And there's been a lot of experimentation in there. And that's one of the things I love about indie comics as well, is you can basically do anything. I was talking to a chap last week, and he's got a comic series, which is Kaijus and Cowboys. And it's exactly how it sounds. Just giant, giant monsters fighting robot cowboys, and it's cool, and it's a really weird different thing, but he's co-created that. It's an indie thing. He's been a comic artist for like 30 years. But I myself, like, I wasn't really into comics that much until probably the last decade or so. Anyway, a friend of mine bought me some Star Wars comics, and I was like, I love Star Wars, never read any of the comics. I think that when you're kind of either into comics or not, but not necessarily being into them, you've either kind of taken a step through that doorway or you haven't. And I think that, obviously, the MCU, as you said, and Blade and X-Men, all that sort of stuff, that did help a lot. But I think even knowing about comics peripherally, once you go, no, you know what, I'm going to give this a go, I'm going to read the Watchmen's or this Batman comic or whatever, or when you actually create it, you can never unsee it, if you know what I mean. You can never, once you've dipped into the comic world and you see how much there is, because I remember I was like, oh yeah, I think when I first got into comics, I was reading a lot of Star Wars stuff, and I was like, okay, I'll get into some Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. He's been my favorite, you know, comic book character for a while. And then it's like, oh yeah, at the moment it's, let's say, he's been going for nearly 100 years, slightly less than Batman, but there's at least 1,200 Spider-Man comics in the Amazing Spider-Man run, which isn't even the first run. There were Spider-Man comics before then, and there's been about 20 spin-offs, and also he appears in these other things, and you go, so if I were to read every Spider-Man comic, genuinely it would take my entire life, basically. And Batman's been going even longer than that, and Superman's been going even longer than that, and you're like, And I think it can feel overwhelming because also you mentioned Watchmen, Alan Moore, and then there's people like Neil Gaiman who obviously wrote Coraline and things, and they've both written huge amounts of comics like Sandman as well. And it's like there's so much to consume when you kind of step through that door. I feel like one almost always needs a Hades in their life to be like, here's just some. It's almost like the thing that you said at the start of this conversation is with a blank canvas, you're just lost. But if you've got somewhere to start and go from, it makes it a lot easier. And I was quite happy because a lot of my podcasting friends I got into comics with and the Comics Emotion Network, they were all like been reading comics for decades. So I was like, I want to read a bit of Batman, but there's about a billion. Here's the must read of Batmans. And there's about 150 of them. And I don't have that kind of time. So I think that as your friendship with Hades has grown, and especially where it's become more collaborative with the content you're producing and ASAP, it's really nice to be able to have someone who's been in that world for so much longer and can actually guide you somewhat throughout this world that is very intimidating. And that as the years go by, it gets more so, I think, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I think that was a lot of my hesitation for jumping in, because I was just like, I want to read Spider-Man. But I'm like, and then you're not starting at issue one, because I don't even know if you can get a hand on issue one. But then the same thing, you ask people, you're like, hey, where should I start? And like, you ask 10 different people and they'll give you 10 different answers, right? And 10 different people will give you 10 different answers. So you actually have 100 different answers. Like they're like, yeah, if you ask any comic person, what's their favorite thing? You get a list of at least 10 things. But yes, it was like kind of intimidating. And I know I kind of dabbled it. Like I very much like started looking for like almost standalone things to kind of start. And Watchmen was nice that way. And then there's like a few, like I've kind of gone into like a few like more well-known ones and tried to like chunk out a graphic novel. I'm just like, I don't really get, I like the origin stories and I like starting from the start. And like I grew up very much like a novel reader and like series novel readers where it's like you read one book and then you read book two and then you read the third book. Like that's not how comics works all the time. And I know a lot of the time. And I know it's like very like overwhelming. I know and then I think that's kind of the appeal of indie comics is like, again, we have this like universe where like, if we got big, we're at risk of doing that, but we do have, like, a chronological timeline right now. But technically, all of our titles are standalones. Like, you can read Sister Grimm without reading all of the other things, and, like, they all reference this event, but you don't necessarily need to know what the event was, because, like, it trickle feeds, like, into the story. But at the same time, if you go back and read Points of Villainy and Points of Virtue, or get this graphic novel, the Kickstarter, like, it gives you an insight into the event. But gives you like everything you read probably like gives you a little like gives you like it's a map, I guess. It just expands the map in your brain
a little
bit.
Like,
okay, yeah, a piece of the, that's a better way of putting it. So yeah, it just gives you more information so you can kind of put that world together. So like when you know the event, you're like, okay, you can follow this storyline. And I think it like works like that. And that's kind of our point. We want it to be approachable. Like if anyone ever asked me where to start, especially now that we have the graphic novel, I'd be like, the complete Points of Villainy, because it has like the three, like there's like six stories in there of people going through this event, and that's the catalyst for this world. Whereas like if you start Sister Grimm, like sure you can start it there, but at the same time Sister Grimm had a bit of an origin story in the complete Points of Villainy. Like she's actually a character that came from that. So I always point people back to the front. Like of course I want people to read all the titles because they all have their own merits and they're kind of different genres. Like Sister Grimm's like dark fantasy horror, like OPSEC is sci-fi X-Files, and then like Hole is more occult and Person is demonic, and then we have that's P-U-R-S-O-N and then we have Dead of Night, which is like a medieval kind of vigilante crime vibe, and then Messiah is this like it's almost more of like as like this like mythological, and then there's kind of like a mob vibe to it as well. So like they all have like different things. So like not everything's for everyone, but like you can have all these different access points we can dip a toe in and check things out. But of course I tell people to like chronologically, which if I'm a chronological person, I would start at Points of Villainy.
I'm the same. I'm much like yourself. I very much quite like the here's a really easy thing to follow, just A, B, C. But yeah, as you say, it's not, it's any comics you get into. It's always, oh yeah, there was this comic that's going on. Yeah, but I think one of the best comics ever made was actually a prequel to that. Oh, so I'll start there. No, you can't start at the prequel. You have to start at the original and then go back to the prequel to understand what.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just want to read a Batman comic for a bit of fun. And so I've got a couple of graphic novels down there, which are just, here's five big Batman stories that take completely different places. There's all different people around them, but they're good stories. So I kind of dip my toes in. But it's one of the things I like so much about not only ASAP, but also you, Laurie, with when you've been speaking about ASAP and your own works, is that you are very honest about this. And that's what I like as well, is that, you know, comics, I think for a lot of people, as we've just discussed, are very daunting, or can be. And I think that especially when you go into the big two, especially DC and Marvel, or even some of the lesser knowns that have still got a huge catalogue, when you have something like ASAP, what's brilliant about this new Kickstarter is that this is the perfect time to kind of jump on board. You know, this is the thing where before there gets a lot more amazing content stuff, if you jump on board, you support, you know, indie creators, which is a big thing on the show, and you get on this Kickstarter and you can just do that. All the tiers are really, really cool. And I'd say to people, you know, go check out all the tiers, go on the website, have a look, I'll put in the description. But you can give a few shekels, you can get this one and kind of go from there and then go, oh, I quite liked this element of it. And you go, oh, cool. Well, go on the website. If you liked the fantasy element, there's this story for you. But if you liked the sci-fi story in this, you can go for that one. Or what elements do you like of this? I keep saying it, but Ground Zero. And then that's where you can splinter off into the world of ASAP. And that's one of the things I think is really cool. And you don't have to be a massive comic nerd to get into this comic and to enjoy it. It's great storytelling with some amazing artwork that some of it's written by, air quotes, veteran comic readers. And other ones are written by people like yourself who are slightly more newer to the industry. But I think that is so important because it happens a lot of stuff. It happens with Star Wars, which I adore, where you get someone who's been involved in the world or worlds or industry for so long, they kind of inadvertently, it makes it slightly less accessible because like, oh, we'll do this reference and this reference. And obviously I'll talk about this saying. And you're like, I don't know what any of these things mean. You're like, if you've read comics before, you'll know. It's like, but I've not read comics, so I don't know. And that's one of the things I think is great about when I've caught interviews with yourself or Hades, is that it is really for, age appropriately, it is for everyone, you know, no matter what, where you come from, whether you've just been reading comics or novels or whatever, if you want to try something different, try something new. And again, as anthology, if you don't like one of the stories, the next one's going to be quite different. So again, it's almost the perfect tasting platter for ASAP and what not already exists in ASAP, but also what's to come. So I really, really appreciate, you know, you and Hades being out in the world trying to, you know, promote this, and obviously want to support this wherever I can. So we will start to wrap up here, but I want to give the mic back to you. Is there any sort of final statements, anything else you want to kind of mention before we get into plugs? I'll let you do that separately, but the floor is yours for the last part.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have a ton to say. Like, obviously, the Kickstarter is very near and dear to my heart right now, because it was very much near and dear like before, because like the anthology is what brought me into all this. It's basically like how Hades and I met, like this idea to do a project together, and then it was our first book. It was my first publication, so like that was my first time being a published author. This is a big deal. And then like it was what we launched the company with. So like he launched it with like also his other comic, Messiah Number One, but this book came out at the same time. So it's like it's the beginning of everything. So it's really cool to like have this. We're about like I've known him for 5 years and the company is about 3.5 years old. So it's like this very, very big, like full circle kind of moment for us, where like we've been like working so hard to get this comic out and we've got these stories. It was always about comics, and like we had this like prose book, and then we finally are getting to the point where we've brought in all these like talented artists and they're turning our visions into visuals now. So it's very cool to see it all come together. And it's like the very sunrise, sunset moment where I'm just like, it's like start here, and then we were like finally like back to like the novel. It's like where we started and like putting it out there. So it's just cool, and I hope that like people love. I know people probably won't love it as much as we do because it means like there's a lot of sentiment there. But I hope that people really connect with it and like the stories and the art and stuff, and obviously back it and tell everyone they know about it and spam all their friends and family and people they don't know. But yeah, we just want to like get stuff out there and share our stories.
Amazing, yeah, and share it with the world, you know, on social media. That's a great, for indie content creators, that's the big thing, is sharing on social media, yeah. Telling your friends. But look, if you have a mate who's a comic book nerd, kickstart this, get them a copy. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, it's a great way to spread it, you know, spread the love of ASAP and things. It's one of those. So yeah, I completely agree with what you've been saying, and I'm really excited to delve in, and I'm gonna be kickstarting it, so you'll see my name pop up somewhere on there, because I'm we're doing some of the research and stuff. I was like, I really, with the passion from yourself and Hades, I'm just like, the passion is something that this show really lives on, and I've talked to all kinds of guests about different stuff, but the through line is about the thing they're passionate about, and I just love seeing people's eyes light up with things that really mean a lot to them. And this clearly means a lot to you and to Hades, and also it's a really great piece of work. And again, this is Sunrise Sunset of chapter one, or maybe even chapter zero of ASAP. So there's a lot to come, and there's going to be so many cool things, yeah. And I can't wait to sink my teeth into. So obviously I've been referring to you as Laurie because that's your name, but you call yourself LA Cunningham because you don't want to get confused with the footballer. I'll put every link in the description to the Kickstarter, which as of this coming out, it should be out for another 2 weeks. So when this drops, people should be able to check that out. I'll just put links to the ASAP Imagination website so people can buy back issues and other stuff like that. And I imagine once this Kickstarter finishes, if you're listening in the future, then you'll probably be able to pick up something, even if it's just the digital version of the trade paperback, you'll still be able to do that. But Laurie, final things, your plugs. Where can people find you? Obviously, I'll put links in the description. You have to read out the entire Kickstarter link. But where can people find you? And final things before we end this call.
So my personal website is lacunningham.com. The ASAP website is asapimagination.com. Obviously, we have the Kickstarter. Like I said, I won't spell it all out. But you can just go search the complete points of villainy. And then we also have anyoneworld.com, which is all of our creator-owned imprints from other awesome indie creators. And those are our main ones on... I don't know where I'm mostly now. I feel like I'm still mostly on Twitter, but unfortunately all my handles are different. I like play hard to get for no reason. Basically, I'm a late adopter, and by the time I come to a new platform, my handle's gone, and I'm like, oh, I'll just think up a new one rather than make them all the same. So I play hard to get, but I have a link tree. so if you find me, and I know like my website, like I like Twitter is the main one. I'll just put it's at LaurCunnn. And go from there. But you can look me up. Like, if you Google me now, like LA Cunningham, and Google babies with rabies, probably, I feel more. Sister Grimm, any of the titles, like, I pop up. So that's amazing. How I'm going to tell people to find me. it's funny because every time I do this, I'm like, I should really make all my handles the same. And then I just never do. And then I just get on a podcast and have to ramble on like this.
To be fair, I've started Genuine Chit Chat about 7 years ago. And for some bizarre reason, on every platform, it's just at Genuine Chit Chat. But on Instagram, I put an underscore in the middle. So there's one, and obviously that means on Threads there's an underscore in the middle. I'm like, no one else has this name. Yeah. And it was a great original name, and I foolishly added an underscore for no reason on one platform. I'm always kicking myself over. So I completely sympathize with that. But your link tree is a great place to go. It's got loads of other cool stuff in there and lots of other associated things that you've been doing as well. So your link tree will be in the description, as well as I'll put a few of the links as well, including your website, ASAP, Kickstarter, all that kind of stuff. But Laurie, thank you so much for making time to speak with me. It's been such a joy getting to know you and getting to hear about all the different projects that you've been involved with, and I can't wait to see what is in the future. Now my throat's doing the thing right at the end of the podcast. But just thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it too.
Thank you. And that's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, my friends, please make sure you check out the link in the description if you're listening in April 2024 for the Complete Points of Villainy trade paperback Kickstarter. Also check out the various other cool things on LA Cunningham's website, as well as ASAP Imaginations. Also, something I didn't realize until me editing this conversation now is Laurie has actually appeared on a fellow Comics in Motion member's YouTube channel, Seth Singleton. So I've put the link to that in the description as well, so you can hear another conversation with Laurie if you so desire after this one. But what other stuff is going on? Well, I will point you to the previous episode of Genuine Chit Chat where I spoke with Frankie B. Washington. He is a comic book artist. So it's really cool that although they are not specifically linked, that Laurie and Frankie both are pushing for a Kickstarter. They're both in indie comics and they both have a variety of skills. And it's really, really cool hearing from both of their different perspectives, one primarily from the artistic side and one primarily from the written author kind of side. So if you enjoyed this conversation, please go and check that out. And also, if you are listening again from, I think it's the 15th of April, 2024, 2024, then you'll also be able to back Frankie B. Washington's comic, which is Kaijus and Cowboys. So loads of great comic content coming out of Genuine Chit Chat, or at least linked to Genuine Chit Chat at the moment, so check those out. In addition to that, what's going on? Well, I've done a couple of guest spots recently, one of which isn't going to be out for another like month or so, and the other one isn't going to be out for like 2 months. So that's with Back to the Filmography and Spider-Dan. But I'll let you know when those drop. I'll put links in the description and I'll just inform yourselves. But also subscribe to the Pop Culture Collective newsletter, because I notify people on that of what I've got going on, both on Genuine Chit Chat and a lot of the guest spots I do as well. So just loads of great ways to keep up to date with what I'm doing. In addition, there's other guest spots I've recently done. I was on Mandatoric Music and CD, which is on the feed of Comics in Motion. I hosted the 1000th episode of Comics in Motion, which marks the 6-year anniversary. I was also on the 20th Century Geek podcast talking about June 1984 and Part 1, and then also I was on the VHS Strikes Back talking about Trainspotting. So there's loads of crazy things there. I've got some Star Wars collaborations planned, but I'm also releasing Star Wars content, including Clone Wars Conversations, where myself, Mav, and Dave, and occasionally Megan, go through batches of Clone Wars episodes. Normally we're doing the first and second parts of each season, so about 11 episodes ago. I assume when we get to the later seasons we'll probably split that up even more, because there's going to be a lot to talk about. But I've recorded Season 3 Part 1, which is episodes 1 to 11, and I'm soon to be recording Season 3 Part 2, which is episodes 12 to 22, and so the prior episodes are already out on the feeds of Comics in Motion, Star Wars Comics in Canon, and on Genuine Chit Chat, so you can check all those things out. Obviously, they're all on my YouTube channel as well if you want to watch the video versions of those, and I will be releasing an episode of Clone Wars Conversations every month, so that's a fun thing to look forward to. In addition to that, I've got a conversation recorded with Paige. She is married to my cousin and they both have a business together about dog walking. But Paige also has got qualifications in dog behavior and lots of other cool things as well. So that episode will be dropping soon. But before that, I believe next week it will be time for M&M Monthly, which is the first in a new show myself and Megan are going to be doing every month. So we release it 1 month early over on Patreon. So patreon.com/genuinechitchat. For as little as £1 a month, you get access to over 200 full episodes of Afterthoughts. That's a wide variety of conversations, primarily myself and Megan I've had, reviewing TV shows, movies, all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's new stuff at cinema. In the spooky season, October, we do a whole bunch of horror films. But for M&M Monthly, it's at least 30-minute long episodes where we speak about one topic. So the first topic is about hair. The second topic is about pantomimes, where Megan was actually in a pantomime last year or the start of this year. So we get to talk about that and her whole experience in that, because she's never done anything like that before. But the whole point of M&M Monthly is once a month, myself and Megan are going to have a great conversation on a topic that's submitted by yourselves, the wonderful audience. So we've already got a few topics in the bag. We've recorded 2 episodes so far. I've got another one due, and we've already been submitted a handful of topics which we'll be choosing randomly to talk about. But if anyone is listening to that, anyone could submit a conversation topic where you can put it on the YouTube comments, you can send to me on social media, but all patrons will get priority on those things. But it's just going to be a random thing, so I'm probably going to put just double up the patron topics in there so it becomes more likely to come up, but we shall see. So that should be out next week. There's already a video version on YouTube that patrons can already watch, but that episode will be releasing next Sunday. I've also got a couple of other cool conversations due for recording. I have got a recording due with another Star Wars author, which I think is like my 7th or 8th Star Wars author since I started the show. So that's really, really exciting. And I've got a conversation due with someone, and it's going to be a conversation like no other. But I don't want to talk about that till I've got the conversation recorded in the bag, but I'm very excited about that. And then I've got lots of other cool things planned for this year as well. So please, if you are listening to this and you have not subscribed, be it on YouTube or any podcast app, please subscribe. Then you won't miss an episode when it comes out. You don't have to listen to them all. You probably won't enjoy every single one of them equally, but if you keep subscribed, you'll see new interesting episodes that come up, like this one, that may pique your interest. And if you really enjoy the show, please share with your friends, please tell people in real life about it, but also please leave reviews. People have been leaving more reviews for me on Spotify, which I really appreciate. I've got quite a nice amount of reviews on Apple Podcasts, but I can always get more because it really helps shine a spotlight on the show, including places like Audible and other places like that. So obviously supporting the show at Patreon is the best way to do so. You get loads and loads of bonus content every single week, and at the moment you've got like, I can't think of how many hours of additional content you'll have, but I think it's probably at least like a solid day's worth of listening, if not more. But if you want to support the show in a way that doesn't mean financially, please share, leave reviews, and tell your friends about it. But friends, you can find me on all the social media places at Genuine Chit Chat, where I release snippets of stuff, photos of things I'm doing, occasional videos of Willow, all kinds of different things. So please support me wherever you can and wherever you go on the internet, really. I really appreciate each and every one of you. I'll be talking to you next week, likely with M&M Monthly Episode 1, and yeah, lots of other cool stuff to come. So thank you for tuning in as always, my friends. Please hit that subscribe button, please like, please share, and I'll speak to you next week.
You have just experienced host, creator, everything else-er of Genuine Chit Chat, and also the host and creator of Star Wars Comics in Canon, found on the Comics in Motion podcast, Mike Burton.